Amy.
Hi, Andy.
Hi, Hannah.
Here we go again, huh?
It's fun, though.
Well, it's really a blessing.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Are we still connected?
I'm still here. I thought somebody came on, but I didn't hear anybody.
Okay, well, when he goes real quiet, I sometimes think I've been bumped. I was just checking.
Jasmine.
Hi, Jasmine.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, Jasmine.
Hello.
Good evening.
No, good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening, Hanok.
Good evening, all. I'm running a few minutes late, so I'm going to get off the conference call, and I will be back in about 3 minutes. So I'm sorry for the delay, but it is necessary.
Okay. Are the rest of us still connected?
I'm still here. I just have it on mute.
Hello, some people there. I need to get it back off and come back. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and mute too.
Please join me in saying the Anabakoach. Anabakoach, Gedulat Yemincha, Tatir, Aleph Beit Gimel Yutav Tzadi, Kabel Rinat, Amcha sagvenu, tacharenu, no ra, kufreshayan, sintet nun. Na gibor, dorshe yehudcha, kevavat, shamrem, nun gimudalad, yud kafshin. Bahem tacharen, rachame sitkatcha, tamid gamlem. Betet reish, sadi taf gimel. The letters of the month of Avav, the kaf that created the planet we call the sun, and the tet that created the constellation, Aryeh, the lion, the Leo. Chasin kadosh, berov tuvcha, na'el adatach, tet kuf bet, tet nunayim. Yachid ge'eh, lamcha p'nei, zoch pray Kiddushatah. Bid Gimalamed, Hey Zion Kuf. Shavatenu Kabel, Ushmati Akatenu, Yodea Talumot. Shin Kufav, Sadiuta. Now that we have brought the energy of creation into our space, we're going to utilize the 13 attributes of mercy to separate the negative aspect of that creation. Adonai Yohei Wahei. Adonai Yohei Wahei. El Rachum V'chanun Erech Apayim. V'rav chesed ve'emet, notze chesed la'alafim, notze awon v'afesha, v'chata'a v'nakei. And now we're going to speak the 8 verses that we do daily, starting with 2 Chronicles, chapter 29, verse 34, that connects us to the year 5776. Raka Kohanim Hayulimat Willo Yahlu Lehashit Et Kol Haolot Vayechaskum Achechem Halevim Ad kilot hamlacha v'ad yitkachu hakohanim ki halevim yishrei levav lehitkadesh me hakohanim. The next verse is a condensed version of this first verse we read because it comes from the first letters of each word in this, of the 25 words in this verse we just read. Adonai Yohei Wahei Lalahe Wa-wa-wa Yo-la-yo Alame Hey-hey-hey Aka-a Re-ka-ha. Continuing to connect to the year 5776, through Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bidhu ba Adonai Yohewahe Ade Ad Kibia Yohe Adonai Yohewahe Sur Olamim. Now to connect to the energy of the year 5775 in the next 3 verses, commencing with Job chapter 7, verse 19.
Kama lo tishemimeni lo tarpeni ad bili ruki.
1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23.
Uru udu mikol hamachavuia. Asher yitchabei sham ushavtem elai el nahon. Wechalachti yitchem. Wechayayim yeshno varetz v'chipasti oto b'kol alfei Yehuda.
Job chapter 20, verse 7.
Kegelo lanetzach. Yoved Roav, Yom Ruayo.
And now to connect to the energy of the year 5774. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10.
Wasam Timakom Leamil Yisrael Untati Vishakan Tachta Vilo Yergaz Od v'lo yosifu, k'nei avla la'anoto, Ka Asher Barishona. And now to connect to the energy of the Zohar, the energy of certainty through Parashat Yitro, Pasuk 29. L'shem Yehud Kudsha Barichu Ishkinte Bithilu. Urhimu, Urhilu, Urhilu, Urhimu. Vayachda l'shem yud hei b'vav hei. V'yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah. Lasok Torah mitzvah. Vayhi noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kananei aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kananehu. Rabbi Abba Amar, Bekama Atar, Tanenan Dekucha, Berichu Kol Ma Deaved, Leheila Witata, Kola Iho Keshot, Beovada, Dishot Velet Lachmila, Bealma Devae, Parnash Ledachya Leya Mineya Ulan Haga Beya Kilana Dehakulu Ovada Dikshot Inun Wikola It's the Rich Bealma. Now to scan the 72 names of God. And the 72 names from the Tzaddikim. In the 8th verse of the Anna B'Koach, we say, and I'll whisper. And now for the 5 meditations we do for the 3 weeks. The first meditation is to take the Hashem's name one letter to the right, Metzapet, Teda Heda. Second meditation is to take the Hashem's name one letter to the left, Kawazawa. The third meditation is a central column utilizing the Atbash method of letter substitution, Metza Petza. These three letters, these three words, these three names of God add up in Gematria to 360, which is also the letter Shin when spelled out, Shin Yud Nun. And we know that the letter Shin has the inner essence of balance. The fourth meditation is on the word Retse, which is the same letters as Sarah. The gematria is 295, which is the same gematria as the name Elohim when spelled out. And then when we unify Elohim with Adonai, Aleph, Talit, Nun, Yud, we have 295 plus 65 is 360, and we have created a second Shin. And we utilize this second Shin to inject the consciousness of balance in our ability to change, transform the letters of the word Tzara, meaning trouble, into Retse, meaning opportunity. And then the fifth meditation is that of the two Shins together plus the six names that we utilize in these meditations, and that comes to a gematria of 360 plus 360 plus 6, or a total of 726. And this is the same gematria as the phrase Sim Shalom. And it's from this phrase that we take the two shins and the energy of Shalom, peace, and we inject peace into this period of the 3 weeks, bringing balance to the whole period. Tonight's class continues our classes on the third temple. This handout can be found on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. I believe it's row 9, or it could be row 10, the third column from the left, where it says third temple landing page. When you open that up, scroll down to class number 4. The title of this, or the beginning section, is The House of Prayer for All the Nations. And this is a prophecy from the prophet Isaiah. The temple is not an object of worship. It is a holograph, embodied in buildings and services, showing all humanity that prayer actually works. Do we know what a holograph is? Probably not. But it's a three-dimensional, if not more dimensions, object that no matter which way you look at it, which way you change it, which way you cut it, which way you perceive it, it's always going to show you the same picture. The temple consists of buildings, which is the circles on the Tree of Life glyph. The temple consists of services, which are the lines, the processes, the actions that are on the Tree of Life glyph. This is how it is a holograph. It should not be surprising that the system of holy names, letters, and numbers embodied in the temple is so elaborate. People don't complain about the complexity of cars, computers, and other wonders. They simply expect them to work. It is unnecessary to understand all the details of Mishkan Elyon in order to grasp that the power of the temple as a channel of Shefa is bound up with the power of the letters of creation. These letters of creation are the very angels that Jacob saw ascending and descending the ladder. The image of angels going up and down the ladders to heaven is a graphic symbol to all humanity. Jews and Gentiles, Kabbalists and non-Kabbalists alike, expressing how the letters of our prayers and the songs rise up to Hashem so as to elicit a descending flow of blessing and sustenance. Letters and words are the building blocks of all human languages. The essential message of the temple is that language is not only in the medium of communication between people, it is our medium of communication with Hashem. Prayer to Hashem in any language creates a ladder of connection. The letters of our prayers channel power from the archetypal letters of creation, from the word of Hashem that brought all things into being. Prayer may be offered at any time in any place. The system of letters that brings the holy temple into being is that of the holy tongue. The sacred Hebrew language is as revealed in the Bible. But all languages are rooted in the letters of the alphabet, and therefore have the power to ascend the ladder to heaven. In the words of Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, your tongue and speech are holy when you sanctify them. When people speak to Hashem in their own language, it is also called the holy tongue. Sanctify your tongue with the words of holiness and guard against all forms of evil talk. Only through the power of prayer will the house of prayer for all the nations descend from heaven to be eternally established on earth. The more we focus our prayers and thoughts on the temple, the nearer we bring the temple dream. In the words of the Midrash, Ezekiel said to the Holy One, blessed be He, Master of the world, we are now in exile, and you tell me to go and inform the people about the plan of the temple? Write it before their eyes, and they will guard all its forms and all its laws and do them. How can they do them? Leave them until they go out of exile, and then I will go and tell them. The Holy One, blessed be He, said to Ezekiel, just because my children are in exile, does that mean the building of my house should be halted? Studying the plan of the temple in the Torah is as great as actually building it. I am adding the bolded letters for emphasis because it's so important. Do you pray for the temple to come? Is a question each person needs to ask themselves. Go and tell them to make it their business to study the form of the temple as explained in the Torah. As their reward for this study, I will give them credit as if they are actually building the temple. My commentary. There are a few Mikhlofetz arguments meant to reach the essential truth embodied in these discussions between the sages about what is truth, what is correct. Among the sages about prayer, one of them is, do I pray in Hebrew or in my own language? The consensus is that one must pray in a language that they understand, and that the most effective prayer is prayed in Hebrew. But only if you understand it. Not that you're fluent in it, but you understand the words that you're praying, that you understand the sequences involved, that you understand the unity of the words, that you understand the Kabbalah as it applies to your Hebrew prayers. That is my opinion. Does this mean that you would enhance your prayers if you learned to pray in Hebrew? Yes and no. The yes part is clearly said in the paragraph above. The no part comes from the need to realize that prayer needs kavanah, translated as intention, but its meaning is much more than that. Part of the kavanah is yehudim, and other letter manipulations like measure, milui, noterekin, and gematria. This is not a complete list of letter manipulations. Learning to speak Hebrew without learning these manipulations is no more effective than praying in a language you understand. When you pray in Hebrew with the Yehudim, your prayers manifest. This is because it is impossible to perform a yichud properly if one has not grown to the level of a tzaddik. When one prays with Yehudim, this is an indication that one is a Sadiq. At that moment, one, of course, one cannot know if one is praying a Yehud properly. But praying with a Yehud, at that moment you are a Sadiq or a Sadekah. Can you fall from that consciousness level? Yes. But then you will return until eventually you're always at that level. Another machlachet of prayer has to do with the recommendation of praying with a minyan, a group of at least 10 people, or 10 men, depending on your minhag. If prayer can be said at any time or place, why must I pray with a minyan? Your prayer is more effective when it is built in the form of your body, which is in the form of the 10 sefirot. Yet if the members of your minyan do not understand this relationship, and which sefirot they represent in this particular minyan, there is limitation on the prayer, and it becomes delayed. All prayers, whenever said or wherever said, are always answered in the positive. The length of delay to answering and manifesting can be lifetimes, God forbid. That is why it is important to pray in Hebrew with Kavanah and Yehudim. This means you have an obligation from others to assist them in manifesting their prayers properly, by learning the particular Yehudim that is your unique addition to each minyan that you participate within. This is one of the meanings of Achdut, translated in a corrupted way as mutual obligation. It can be seen as the doorway to brotherhood in the plural, which is a Hebrew word describing a mitzvah that people generally do not understand or participate with yet. We have read the essay from Rabbi Ashlag on Achdut, and I refer to you there. Guide to the layout of the Third Temple. The site of the temple is in Jerusalem, on Mount Moriah, the Temple Mount. From far away, visitors' eyes would immediately be drawn to the main temple building, the house, a most imposing stone structure positioned on the highest point of the mountain, somewhat nearer to the west and north than to the other side of the mountain. Commentary. Please realize that the directions relate to spiritual concepts also. West is Malchut and north is judgment. Why is the Holy of Holies not in the center of the Temple Mount? Maybe it is when the third temple arrives. It is time for people to utilize the information they have available to themselves. A visitor to the temple would first enter the walled mount through one of its five entrances, and then pass through the soreg, a lattice partition encircling the mount inside the wall, followed by the chel, which according to many opinions is a wall. The visitor would then proceed towards one of these three gates of the outer courtyard, an enormous walled square encompassing both the main temple building and the inner courtyard. The latter stands in the very center of the outer courtyard, in front of the temple building, and gives access to it. As a side commentary, do you understand why there are five gates? Do you understand why there are three gates? continuing to build, continuing to read. Thus far, we have briefly traced the route of a visitor coming from outside the Temple Mount into the temple. This is the route followed by the Ramchal in his 5 chapters, in which he explains the physical form of the third temple. But from now on, in the present guide, the discussion of the temple building and courtyards will proceed from the center outwards. This is the route taken by Ramchal in the main part of the Mishkanei Elyon, where he discusses the meaning of the temple buildings and services. Full details and measurements of all the buildings and courtyards mentioned here are given in the 5 chapters. My commentary. The above are describing the path of Shefa outbound and inbound. The Shefa flow inbound? They also create an awareness of human limitation. The human being does not truly multitask. We handle one piece of information at a time, and we cannot even begin to understand true multitasking, where we can handle and integrate different aspects of a subject simultaneously. The subject of the temple needs to be perceived in that sense. The inner courtyard and the outer courtyard simultaneously are just one concept. The Ramchal does his best to allow us the opportunity to do this by presenting the duality flow of Shefa in both directions separately, and then allow us to integrate this knowledge into the frame of simultaneously. Remember, if we can conceive of something, it means we have this essence within us. The main temple building. The main temple building rises to a height of 100 cubits, which is approximately 50 meters or 164 feet. A cubit is the distance from an average man's elbow to the end of his middle finger, estimated at between 48 and 57.6 centimeters or 19 to 22.6 inches. The great gate of the sanctuary faces due east, and the front of the building is 100 cubits wide. The building is somewhat narrower at the back, giving it a form reminiscent of a crouching lion. My commentary. The number 100 is 10 sephirot within 10 sephirot. The number 100 hints at completion, which leads to perfection. When you look at the 100 cubits, and then we break it into different forms of human measurement, do you think it's coincidental that those different forms of human nature also measure or have numbers that are something significant? The 550 meters is 5 times 10. The 19 to 22.6 inches. 19 is the name of Gematria of Chava, life. 22.6 is the 22 Hebrew letters connected to the 6 sephirot of Zeron Pin. As a student of Kabbalah, are you recognizing this? If you're not, don't worry. It will come in time. But time can be speeded up. The process can be speeded up if you just ask the question, what's the meaning of the number I'm reading? A fun game to play with children and grandchildren is when you're riding in the car. Look at the numbers on the drivers, on the car licenses near you, and see what message Hashem is sending you through the numbers. Continuing to read. The building consists of three main parts. To the west is the innermost and holiest of all, the Holy of Holies, which is Kodesh Kodeshim, or Devir, which is 20 cubits, 10 meters, 33 feet square. 20 is 2 times 10. 20 is the letter Kaf, the sun. 20 is direct light and returning light. 10 meters is the Sephirot. 33 feet is Lag BaOmer. Lag is the number 33. In it is the foundation stone, the Evan Shtia, upon which stands the Ark of the Covenant. No one may enter the Holy of Holies except the high priest once each year on the Day of Atonement, on Yom Kippur. The second main part of the building is the sanctuary, the Heichal, which stands to the east of the Holy of Holies and has the same width but is twice as long from west to east. The sanctuary contains the candelabra, lit morning and evening, the golden altar, on which incense is burned morning and evening, and the showbread table, on which 12 loaves stand from Shabbat to Shabbat in two rows of 6. The main entrance to the sanctuary is through the great gate, which stands in the east wall, flanked by smaller gates on either side. Outside the great gate is the third main part of the temple building, the vestibule, called the Ulam, a great portico flanked by two mighty pillars. My commentary. 20 is a number that also reflects completion in the sense that it is 10 plus 10. The dimensions of the Heichal, the sanctuary or the palace, is 20 by 40. 40 is a number that is quite significant in the Torah. Everybody speaks of the 40 days of the flood and 40 years in the desert, and many other times that 40 is used. 40 is the idea of 20 plus 20. It is completion completed. Is this perfection or the ruination of perfection? Actually, the numbers 100 and 40 and 20 represent perfection in different frames of reference. The vestibule, its pillars, and 12 imposing steps leading up to the building would give it a most striking front facade. The windows in the walls of the temple and its chambers and courtyards are all narrow on the inside and widening on the outside. Because the temple does not require light from the outside, since it radiates light from within. My commentary. The number 12 is the four letters of the Tetragrammaton times the three columns. This explanation for the windows also applies, in my opinion, why the back of the building is smaller than the front. A system of cells built around the north, south, and west walls of the sanctuary and the Holy of Holies adds significantly to the length and breadth of the building, as do two areas in front on either side of the vestibule. These are known as the place of the knives. My commentary. If you were paying attention, you can answer the following question. Why is there no cells built on the east? Here is a hint. What else is on the east side? The doorways. Cells on the east side would block access. Is there a spiritual reason rather than a physical reason? The answer is yes. You need to think about it. We're going to read about the inner courtyard. Access to the main temple building is from the inner courtyard, the Atara, or the Azara, which stands in front of the sanctuary to the east. As already stated, access to the inner courtyard is from the outer courtyard, which we'll discuss below, which encompasses both the inner courtyard and the temple building. The inner courtyard is exactly in the center of the outer courtyard, with the temple to its west. Thus, the inner courtyard is bounded by the temple on the west side, and by walls on its north, east, and south sides. Each of the latter three walls has a gate in the center. The inner courtyard is 100 cubits square and open to the sky. It is here that many of the main temple services actually take place. My commentary. I am confused by the idea that the inner courtyard is 100 cubits on a side with three walls. The west wall is the main building, which is also 100 cubits wide. The north and south walls must connect to the main building. If it connects to the back of the main building of the building, there is no place for people to enter through the gates that are mentioned. If the walls connecting to the front of the main building, then the north and south walls are 200 cubits long and 100 cubits wide. Can anyone help me understand this? Obviously, I am missing something. Visitors to the inner courtyard would be struck not only by the temple building, soaring upwards at the western end of the inner courtyard, but also by the massive white-painted stone sacrificial altar standing before the temple in the very center of the courtyard. The altar is thus the center point of both the inner and outer courtyards. At its base, the altar is 32 cubits. 32 cubits square, and rises to a height of 10 cubits. Access to the altar is from the south. Up a 32 cubit long ramp with two side ramps. My commentary. Remember that 32 is the Hebrew word lev, which translates as heart. The essence of the letters teach that this is the heart of teaching. Do you think that the altar is the heart of teaching? The inner courtyard contains designated areas of varying degrees of holiness. These include the court of the Israelites and that of the priests, which is one cubit higher, forming a raised level where the choir of Levites sings. They sing during the sacrificial services. Also, in the court of the priests is the platform, the dukkan, on which the priests stand to bless the people. Other areas and chambers are in the inner courtyard, are used for slaughtering and preparing the sacrifices, and for storing the priestly clothes and musical instruments. My commentary. It is an important aspect to learn and understand the concept of hierarchy, or varying degrees of holiness. Remember also that the temple is a blueprint for the physical world. These varying degrees of holiness also apply throughout the physical world. Access to the inner courtyard is through three identical massive gates, 50 cubits in height and 10 cubits wide, standing in its east, in its north, and its south walls. Seen from the outer courtyard, these gates would be of particular note because of their striking vestibules and pillars, which stand outside the gates, flanked by rows of three chambers on either side. That's the end of our class today. We will, in our 7 o'clock class tomorrow, we will pick up at the outer courtyard. Tomorrow, Tuesday, at 4:30 is a mini Zohar class, followed by the class we just discussed at 7 p.m. Tonight, at 11 p.m. West Coast time, which is 2 a.m. East Coast time, 1 a.m. Central time, and midnight Mountain time, we will have a connection to Rabbi Isaac Luria, the Ari, as starting tonight, it is his Hilulah. A very positive day, only because he chose to be a channel for us during these 9 days. He's right in the middle of these 9 days, providing us a channel of positivity in the midst of this negativity. I hope you'll take advantage of it. Does anyone have any questions? Shalom to all.
Shalom.
Shalom, and thank you.